The following material is taken from Technician's Manual Liquid Heating Fuels, published by the National Oil Heat Research Alliance, copyright 2022. Chapter 7, Combustion. Technicians have an obligation to ensure that the equipment they are working on is operating at peak performance levels. Understanding combustion theory is the basis for adjusting burners for safe, clean, reliable, and economical operation. What is combustion? By definition, combustion is the rapid oxidation of any material that will combine readily with oxygen. In a fuel-fired appliance, it is a controlled chemical reaction, meaning that combustion is more than just a flame that is controlled by adding or subtracting air, adjusting fuel unit pressure, moving firing assembly, or changing the nozzle specifications. Combustion is a chemical process that is affected by many environmental conditions and components of the heating appliance and the venting system. A visible flame is the result of many variables. To properly adjust a burner, it is essential to understand both what is seen and unseen in the combustion process. Three things are needed for combustion: oxygen, heat, and fuel. The oxygen is contained in the air that is delivered by the burner fan. The spark generated by the high-voltage igniter and delivered by the electrodes provides the heat. The nozzle delivers the atomized fuel. The heat from the spark raises the fuel to its ignition temperature, fire point. The oxygen molecules in the air combine with the fuel in a chemical reaction that produces light and large quantities of heat. As the fuel-air mixture combusts, the heat generated perpetuates the combustion process if adequate fuel and oxygen supplies are available. This is why the ignition can be turned off after the flame is established. It is only needed to start the process. During combustion, new chemical substances are created from the fuel and the air. The primary chemical substances are carbon dioxide, CO2, and water as vapor. Additionally, carbon monoxide, CO, is usually created in smaller amounts. If it is created in high amounts and a leak in the system allows carbon monoxide to get into the house, it can be lethal. The sole purpose of the burner is to efficiently combine the fuel and the oxygen in a manner that will result in safe, clean, and complete combustion. Heat from the combustion gases is extracted by the heat exchanger in the appliance for space and/or domestic water heating. Heat energy is measured in BTUs, British thermal units. By definition, a BTU is the amount of energy required to raise 1 pound of water 1 degree Fahrenheit, about the amount of energy contained in a flame in the size of a birthday candle. Each gallon of number 2 fuel contains approximately 140,000 BTUs. In a typical 86% efficient appliance, every gallon of fuel burned puts out about 119,000 BTUs into the appliance, and about 21,000 BTUs exit the appliance through the venting system. Figure 7-1, previous page. How does it all work? Number 2 fuel is 85% carbon and 15% hydrogen. Biodiesel contains carbon, hydrogen, and oxygen. When number 2 fuel or biodiesel burns, the carbon in the fuel combines with the oxygen in the air to make carbon dioxide, CO2, and the hydrogen in the fuel combines with the oxygen in the air or fuel to make water. These reactions do not occur with the liquid fuel. Instead, it must first be vaporized before the rapid reaction between the fuel and the oxygen can produce a flame. Air contains 20.9% oxygen, 78% nitrogen, and 1.1% other gases, figure 7-2. Most of the oxygen in the air combines with the carbon and hydrogen in the fuel to form CO2 and H2O. The nitrogen and the other gases usually go through the combustion process unchanged. The precise ratio of air to fuel is critical in the combustion process. Too little air leads to incomplete combustion, smoke, and elevated carbon monoxide, CO, levels. Too much air will also cause incomplete combustion and elevated CO levels. Too much air also cools the flame temperature and lowers the heat content deliverable by the fuel. It is the function of the burner to properly mix air and fuel. The better the air and the fuel vapor are mixed, the better the combustion. Combustion is a series of exact chemical reactions that create exact quantities of combustion gases. 14.4 pounds of air supplies adequate oxygen to burn 1 pound of number two fuel and produces 15.4 pounds of combustion gases, figure 7.3. More simply, to burn a gallon of number two fuel requires about 1,360 cubic feet of air. This is equal to the air in the room that is 14 feet by 12 feet by 8 feet. If perfect stoichiometric combustion could be achieved, less air would be required. However, in a burner, not all of the oxygen in the air combines with the fuel. To ensure all the fuel is burned, extra air must be added in the process. This is why the usual amount of air required is higher than the 1,360 cubic feet. Additionally, some excess air is necessary to provide for changes in the system over time, such as air bands and burner fans that become clogged with animal hair, lint, or dust. Varying air temperature can affect the volume of air. Warmer air is less dense and provides less oxygen. Colder air is denser and provides more oxygen. Draft variations can occur that are beyond the barometric damper's ability to compensate. Variations in the heating content, BTUs, of fuel delivered, bioblends, kerosene blends, etc. Proper nozzle selection and burner settings are critical for safe and efficient combustion. Improper setup will result in poor operation and additional service. To be safe, always consult the manufacturer's operating and service manual for specific information about the appliance being worked on. Air-fuel mixing. Several factors control the quality of air-fuel mixing. The spray pattern of the fuel droplets must match the air pattern created by the burner, so that each droplet of fuel that leaves the nozzle mixes with the oxygen in the air. The amount of air required is determined by the quantity of fuel delivered by the nozzle, figure 7-4. Modern burners use high-speed motors, 3,450 RPMs, to deliver the high static air pressure needed inside the burner air tube to create the air pattern at the end of the tube that is required for clean, efficient combustion. This air pattern is critical and cannot be seen. It is fixed by the burner design and affected by the appliance in which it fires. Thorough testing by manufacturers determines which nozzle spray and pattern delivers the best match to the air pattern for the most efficient combustion. As high-pressure air travels across the retention head of the burner, recirculation is created by the drop in pressure in the center of the air swirl. This pressure difference pulls some of the air back towards the retention head, allowing for most of the combustion to occur just in front of the head. This causes the hottest gases to form close to and in the center of the flame, adding heat to the fuel droplets coming out of the nozzle to give a clean, stable fire close to the burner head. Combustion testing and analysis. Combustion testing is one of the most important tasks technicians perform when servicing burners, figure 7-5. Testing is done to determine the quality of the combustion process, and the results are used to analyze, diagnose, and make needed adjustments to the burner. This section addresses how to use instruments to measure efficiency, cleanliness, and safety of the appliance, plus how testing can pinpoint current and potential problems. Combustion testing is required by code and provides numerous benefits to both the customer and the service technician, including increased energy efficiency, fuel savings, lowering environmental emissions, reducing maintenance, avoiding callbacks, limiting liability, maintaining equipment warranty, providing confidence, increased comfort, and increased safety. It is critical that technicians leave equipment operating in the safest and cleanest way possible. Adjusting the flame by eye is prone to mistakes that could lead to damage to property and endangering the health and lives of people who occupy the building. Principles of combustion testing. Combustion testing includes measuring draft plus the composition and temperature of flue gases as they exit the appliance. This information is used to determine how well the system is operating and to calculate the appliance's combustion efficiency. Combustion testing is normally performed after a tune-up and any time the technician has serviced combustible-related components of the system. For example, a combustion analysis is not usually performed after components such as a circulator or limit control is replaced. However, one should be completed every time something that affects combustion is worked on for any reason. For example, a combustion-related component is changed: nozzle, burner motor, fuel unit, filter, retention head, combustion chamber, etc. The fan or the air band is cleaned or adjusted. Fuel pressure is changed. The chimney or appliance is cleaned. There are three main factors that affect the combustion process: fuel, combustion air, and draft. Careful attention must be given to make specific adjustments as recommended by appliance manufacturers. Experimenting with out-of-spec adjustments can lead to equipment malfunction and severe consequences. Prior to beginning the test procedure, the burner should be set to the manufacturer's recommended settings, including nozzle size, fuel pressure, air band adjustments, etc. Then, perform a brief visual inspection of the combustion chamber refractory for integrity and make any repairs necessary. Check the chamber for cleanliness and remove soot and scale accumulations. If there is an inspection port, fire the unit and check for flame impingement. If impingement is found, determine the cause and correct it before proceeding. Understand that opening the flame inspection port while the burner is operating will allow excess air to affect the flame and invalidate combustion test results. Flame doors are there for inspection only, not for adjustment purposes. Basic combustion testing measurements are: temperature of the flue gases, to determine how well the heat exchanger absorbs heat. Draft, to verify that it is set to manufacturer's specifications. Draft readings are taken in two locations, in the flue and over the fire. Smoke concentrations in the flue gases, to verify that the unit is burning cleanly. CO2 in the flue gases, to determine the amount of excess air that is provided to the flame. These measurements singularly measure specific elements of the combustion process. Together, they will determine efficient or inefficient combustion. Individually, each measurement has a specific range, and those measurements can assist in proper burner setup and diagnosis. In addition to these basic measurements, electronic analyzers also display oxygen, O2, excess air, and carbon monoxide, CO, concentrations in the flue gases. Steady state. For accurate test results, measurements should be made after the unit has achieved steady state. Steady state is the point at which the flue gas temperature reaches its highest point and levels off. At steady state, there are no changes in the combustion gases. The unit has thoroughly warmed up and will maintain constant conditions as long as the burner runs. This could require the burner to run to 5 or 10 minutes or longer. Sample or test hole location. Flue gas measurements are taken through a small hole drilled into the flue pipe near the appliance outlet, the breech, see figure 7-6. Typically, the sample hole should be in a straight piece of flue pipe between the appliance and the barometric draft regulator, at least 6 inches away from the regulator. Sealing this hole when the test is completed is optional, but recommended, since it is often requested by the customer. All measurements should be taken in the flue gas hotspot. This is the point in the center of the flue where the temperature and CO2 are at the highest levels. There is usually an observation door over the combustion chamber that is used to check overfire draft. Some appliances have a special port for the overfire test. See figure 7-7. Combustion test equipment. Combustion testing equipment can be separated into two groups: manual, known as wet kits, figure 7-8, continuous sampling digital electronic instruments, known as combustion analyzers, figure 7-9. As with any tool, technicians must be familiar with the safe and proper use of the device before proceeding.
Always follow manufacturer's guidelines. Testing with wet kits. The procedure for testing and adjusting with a wet kit differs slightly than doing so with a digital electronic type. To test burners with a wet kit, the following components are needed: a draft gauge, figure 7-10, a smoke tester and a smoke scale, figure 7-11, a CO2 gas analyzer, figure 7-12, a stack thermometer, figure 7-13, a Bacharach fire efficiency finder slide rule calculator or equivalent, figure 7-14. Step-by-step procedures for conducting a combustion test with a wet kit. There are two similar but slightly different procedures for conducting tests with wet kits. Each is shown below. The differences between the two procedures are in smoke and CO2 testing. Original procedure. 1. Stack temperature. Stack temperature is done first to make sure that the unit has reached steady state. Slide the holding clip out of the end of the thermometer stem. Insert the small tab into the top of the sampling hole in the flue and push the thermometer in far enough so the tip is in the center of the flue pipe. Operate the burner until the thermometer reading is rising no more than 3 degrees Fahrenheit per minute and record the reading. If the stack temperature begins to approach 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, remove the thermometer and contact your supervisor. Readings above this temperature will damage it. 2. Draft. Draft is measured second because the rest of the test results will be affected by any increase or decrease in draft. Insert the draft gauge probe into the flue gas hotspot and measure the breech draft reading. Then insert it into the opening at the flame observation door and record the over-the-fire draft reading. Adjust the draft regulator if necessary to set the draft to manufacturer's specifications, typically minus 0.04 at the breech and minus 0.02 over the fire. 3. Smoke. Insert a clean piece of smoke test paper into the tester slot and tighten the screw. Insert the sampling tube to the flue gas hotspot and slowly pull the tester's handle 10 full pump strokes. Remove the paper and match the color of the resulting smoke stain on the filter paper to the closest shaded spot on the smoke scale. Although the goal is to set the burner for zero smoke, if the test shows zero smoke on the first try, do not move on to the next step, as the air shutter might be adjusted to a position where it was allowing too much combustion air to enter. To properly adjust for zero smoke, first, adjust the burner for a trace of smoke between 0 and 1, and then add slightly more combustion air. For example, if the first smoke test showed zero smoke, close the air shutter slightly and test again. Repeat this procedure until a trace of smoke shows on the test paper. Then open the air shutter slightly and test again. It is not uncommon for technicians to perform 3 or more smoke tests before getting the proper air adjustment. 4. CO2, carbon dioxide. CO2 is measured after the draft and smoke tests because adjustments made to correct draft or smoke issues will affect the CO2 reading. To use the tester, hold it in the upright position, depress the plunger momentarily, and release. Loosen the lockout at the rear of the scale and slide the scale until the top of the fluid column lines up with the zero line on the scale, and then tighten the lock nut. Insert the CO2 sampling probe into the flue gas hotspot. Hold the tester in the upright position and place the rubber connector of the sampling assembly over the plunger valve. Depress the plunger valve firmly and pump a sample by squeezing and releasing the aspirator bulb 18 times. During the 18th squeeze, with the bulb held deflated, release the connected tip and plunger valve. Absorb the flue gas sample into the tester by inverting it until fluid drains into the top reservoir. Then turn upright to drain fluid back into the bottom reservoir. Repeat this step one more time. Momentarily hold the tester at a 45-degree angle to allow fluid to drain into the bottom reservoir. With the tester held upright, permit the fluid in the column to stabilize for a few seconds, then immediately record the percent CO2 on the scale corresponding to the top of the fluid column. Note, a 5 or 10 second delay in reading may decrease the accuracy of the reading slightly. Longer delays may cause a substantial error. 5. Stack temperature. Although the temperature was taken during the first step in this process, the burner adjustments made to adjust draft, smoke, and CO2 issues affect the temperature reading. Record the temperature displayed on the stack thermometer and subtract the combustion air temperature to determine the net stack temperature. 6. Calculate efficiency. Use the Wet Kit's Fire Efficiency Finder with Oil Slider to determine the efficiency by lining up the CO2 and net stack temperature. Alternative procedure. The slightly different process follows the same order, but the smoke and CO2 adjustments differ. Stack temperature. Stack temperature is measured first to make sure the unit has reached steady state. Slide the holding clip out of the end of the thermometer stem, insert the small tab into the top of the sampling hole in the flue, and push the thermometer in far enough so the tip is in the center of the flue pipe. Operate the burner until the thermometer reading is rising no faster than 3 degrees Fahrenheit per minute and record the reading. If the stack temperature begins to approach 1,000 degrees Fahrenheit, remove the thermometer. Readings above this temperature will damage it. 2. Draft. Draft is measured second because the rest of the test results will be affected by any increase or decrease in draft. Insert the draft regulator probe into the flue gas hotspot and measure the flue draft reading. Then insert it into the opening at the flame observation door and record the over-the-fire draft reading. Adjust the draft regulator, if necessary, to set the draft to manufacturer specifications, typically minus 0.04 at the breech and minus 0.02 over the fire. 3. Smoke. Insert a clean piece of smoke test paper into the tester slot and tighten the screw. Insert the sampling tube to the flue gas hotspot and slowly pull the tester's handle 10 full pump strokes. Remove the paper and match the color of the resulting smoke stain on the filter paper to the closest shaded spot on the smoke scale. Although the goal is to set the burner for zero smoke, if the test shows zero smoke on the first try, then do not move on to the next step because the air shutter could be adjusted to a position where it was allowing too much combustion air to enter. To properly adjust for zero smoke, first adjust the burner for a trace between 0 and 1 smoke and move on to the next step. The initial CO2 sample will be taken at trace level. CO2, carbon dioxide. CO2 is measured after the draft and smoke tests, because adjustments made to correct draft or smoke issues will affect the CO2 reading. To use the tester, hold it in the upright position, depress the plunger momentarily, and release. Loosen the lockout at the rear of the scale and slide the scale until the top of the fluid column lines up with the zero line on the scale, and then tighten the lock nut. Insert the CO2 sampling probe into the flue gas hot spot. Hold the tester in the upright position and place the rubber connecting tip of the sampling assembly over the plunger valve. Depress the plunger valve firmly and pump a sample by squeezing and releasing the aspirator bulb 18 times. During the 18th squeeze, with the bulb held deflated, release the connector tip and plunger valve. Absorb the flue gas sample into the tester by inverting until fluid drains into the top reservoir. Then turn upright to drain fluid back into the bottom reservoir. Repeat this step one more time. Momentarily hold the tester at a 45 degree angle to allow fluid to drain into the bottom reservoir. With the tester held upright, permitting the fluid in the column to stabilize for a few seconds, then immediately record the percent CO2 on the scale corresponding to the top of the fluid column. Note, a 5 or 10 second delay in the reading may decrease the accuracy of the reading slightly. Longer delays may cause a substantial error. Increase combustion air until the CO2 is 1% to 1.5% lower than recorded, and make sure that it is lowered to 12.5% or less to assure safe carbon monoxide, CO, levels. Example: if the trace level recorded is 12.5%, increase air to lower the CO2 between 1% and 1.5%, so that is 11% or 11.5%. If the CO2 recording is 14.5%, increase air to lower the CO2 by 2% to 12.5%. This procedure will create a safety margin of excess air to make sure that variations in combustion conditions, air, fuel, or draft, don't create soot or other dangerous situations. For safety reasons, perform another smoke test to be sure the reading is zero. 5. Stack temperature. Although the temperature was taken during the first step in this process, the burner adjustments made to address draft, smoke, and CO2 issues affect the temperature reading. Record the temperature displayed on the stack thermometer and subtract the combustion air temperature to get the net stack temperature. 6. Calculate efficiency. Use the Wet Kit's Fire Efficiency Finder with Oil Slider to determine the efficiency by lining up the CO2 and net stack temperature. Testing with electronic analyzers. Properly testing with a wet kit is time consuming. This is especially true when the tests must be repeated during burner fine tuning. Modern multifunction electronic testing instruments reduce the time needed for combustion testing and also provide additional information while providing the calculations needed to determine combustion efficiency. Only digital analyzers enable real-time testing. This allows for the user to make adjustments to the burner and view the results of those changes within seconds. With the optional printer, data can be recorded as an uneditable record, so the printout is an accurate recording that becomes part of the job site log. Permanent records allow for accurate tracking of any system changes and provide valuable information for servicing the equipment. Technicians should not leave their testers in cold vehicles overnight. Freezing temperatures have an impact on sensor life. How it works. Electronic combustion analyzers use advanced methods of measuring flue gas composition and temperature through a single probe. A pump within the analyzer draws the flue gas sample through a series of sensors to measure the gas composition. Most electronic analyzers have sensors capable of measuring oxygen percentage, O2, draft, stack, and ambient temperatures. Because most analyzers do not have CO2 sensors, carbon dioxide is calculated based on the oxygen reading and the type of fuel selected. Excess air, EA, is also calculated. Smoke levels and the flue gases are not measured by an electronic analyzer. In fact, high concentrations of smoke are harmful and will affect the life expectancy of the sensors. To extend the life of the sensors, always perform a smoke test and adjust for zero smoke reading before using an electronic analyzer. To perform a combustion analysis with an electronic analyzer, the following components are needed: a smoke tester and a smoke scale, an electronic analyzer, a draft gauge, if the electronic analyzer doesn't include that feature. Step-by-step procedure for conducting a combustion test with an electronic analyzer. 1. Start the analyzer and allow it to calibrate in room air, and set the fuel selection to the fuel in use, figure 7-15. CO should be 0, and O2 should be 20.9%. If they are not, move the analyzer to the outdoors and allow it to recalibrate. If the numbers are correct outside, the combustion zone air is unsatisfactory. If the numbers are still incorrect, the analyzer needs service, or in rare situations, there could be CO outside. 2. Perform a smoke test and adjust to zero smoke. 3. Adjust draft using a temperature draft gauge if the analyzer doesn't include that feature. adjust the draft regulator if necessary to set the draft to manufacturer's specifications, typically minus 0.04 at the breach and minus 0.02 over the fire. Be careful when using an analyzer to measure overfire draft. It can be damaged by exposure to extreme heat. Use a pigtail, figured 7-17, or follow the manufacturer's recommended procedures. 4. Perform a smoke test again to confirm zero smoke after the draft adjustment. 5. Insert the analyzer probe into the flue gas hotspot, centered in the flue pipe for proper sampling, not too close to or touching the sides of the flue pipe. 6. When the unit reaches steady state, observe the readings. Ambient temperature. This is the temperature at the analyzer itself. It is subtracted from the gross stack temperature to give the net stack temperature. Stack temperature. The temperature of the flue gas minus the ambient temperature. Oxygen, O2. The vast majority of analyzers use an O2 sensor to directly measure the O2 in the flue gas and use that reading to calculate the CO2 and excess air based on the fuel selected. Carbon dioxide, CO2, the calculated value of the CO2 in the flue gas sample. Carbon monoxide, CO. Analyzers measure this value directly using a CO sensor and then using the excess air to calculate the CO air. Or, in rare situations, there could be CO outside. Carbon monoxide air-free, COAF. The amount of CO in the flue gas calculated as if there was no excess air. This allows an equal comparison between units with widely varying excess air levels. Excess air, EA. A number calculated from the O2 content of the flue gas for the fuel selected. This is a measure of the amount of air present above the stoichiometric quantity and includes the safety margin in case of adverse conditions. 7. If the optional printer is being used, print a record of the readings. If the operational printer is not being used, record the readings on the service ticket. Alternative procedure. As with the wet kit alternative procedure, the slightly different procedure has a different way of handling smoke and CO2 adjustments. 1. Start the analyzer and allow it to calibrate in room air and set the fuel selection for the fuel in use. CO should be 0 and O2 should be 20.9%. If they are not, move the analyzer to the outdoors and allow it to recalibrate. If the numbers are correct outside, the combustion zone air is unsatisfactory. If the numbers are still incorrect, the analyzer needs service. 2. Perform a smoke test and adjust to a trace of smoke. 3. Adjust draft using a separate draft gauge if the analyzer doesn't include that feature. Adjust the draft regulator if necessary to set the draft to manufacturer's specifications, typically minus 0.04 at the breach and minus 0.02 over the fire. Be careful when using an analyzer to measure overfire draft. It can be damaged by exposure to extreme heat. Use a pigtail, see figure 6 on the previous page, or follow the manufacturer's recommended procedure. 4. Perform a smoke test again to confirm trace smoke after the draft adjustment. 5. Insert the analyzer probe in the flue gas hotspot, centered in the flue pipe for proper sampling, not too close to or touching the sides of the flue pipe. 6. When the unit reaches steady state, observe the readings. Ambient temperature. This is the temperature of the incoming combustion air, either room temperature or the temperature of the air being delivered by the combustion air kit. Stack temperature. The temperature of the flue gas minus the ambient temperature. Oxygen, O2. The vast majority of analyzers use an O2 sensor to directly measure the O2 in the flue gas and use that reading to calculate CO2 and excess air based on the fuel selected. Carbon dioxide, CO2. The calculated value of the CO2 in the flue gas sample. Carbon monoxide, CO. Analyzers measure this value directly using a CO sensor and then use the excess air to calculate the CO free air. carbon monoxide free air, COAF. The amount of CO in the flue gas calculated as if there was no excess air. This allows an equal comparison between units with widely varying excess air levels. Excess air, EA, a number calculated from the O2 content of the flue gas for the fuel selected. This is a measure of the amount of air present above the stoichiometric quantity and includes the safety margin in case of adverse conditions. 7. Increase combustion air until the CO2 shown on the screen is 1% to 1.5% lower than recorded, plus make sure that it is lowered to 12.5% to assure safe CO levels. Example: if the trace level recorded is 12.5%, increase air to lower the CO2 by 1 to 1.5% so that it is 11 to 11.5%. If the CO2 recorded is 14.5%, increase air to lower the CO2 by 2% to 12.5%. This procedure will create a safety margin of excess air to make sure that variations in combustion conditions, air, fuel, or draft, do not create soot or other dangerous situations. 8. If the optional printer is being used, print a record of the reading taken after step 7. If the optional printer is not being used, record the readings taken after step 7 on the service ticket. Is it better to use an electronic analyzer? While wet kits have been used for many years and can produce reasonably reliable results if used and maintained properly, there are a number of reasons why technicians should use electronic analyzers. 1. Performing a combustion test with a wet kit is time-consuming and only gives a vague snapshot of the burner performance. Carbon monoxide testing cannot be performed with wet kits. A separate CO tester must be used to ensure that the appliance is operating at safe levels of CO. 3. Wet kits are not capable of calculating excess air. A technician using a wet kit would have to do manual calculations to determine excess air levels. 4. Electronic analyzers provide readings much quicker and perform efficiency calculations automatically. With a wet kit, a fire efficiency finder scale must be used. 5. Digital combustion analyzers sample flue gas continuously in real time, so the technician can see the CO2, O2, and temperature result changes as adjustments are made. Interpreting the test results. While it is important for a technician to understand how to properly perform a combustion test, it is equally important to understand what the results of the tests mean. Each reading tells a specific story that enables the technician to make adjustments to the combustion process that will ensure the appliance is operating safely, cleanly, and efficiently. Remember to always refer to manufacturer's instructions regarding burner setup. The following ranges are provided as a guide for a typical appliance. However, individual appliance guidelines must be followed. See Figure 7-17. Flue gas temperature, aka stack temperature. Typical range 350 degrees to 500 degrees Fahrenheit net. The flue gas temperature is the temperature of the combustion gases leaving the appliance and reflects the heat energy that did not transfer to the heat exchanger during the combustion process. This temperature is a measurement of the heat exchanger's ability to draw heat from the combustion gases. Managing stack temperatures is a delicate balance of fuel-air mixture ratios, the efficiency of the appliance heat exchanger, and the condition of the heat exchanger and draft. Flue gas temperatures measured at the breech are gross readings. To complete the calculation for stack temperature, the ambient air temperature at the burner inlet air must be deducted to arrive at a net flue gas temperature. Electronic analyzers automatically make this deduction in the data they provide. When using a wet kit, this deduction must be done manually. In non-condensing, chimney-vented appliances, the temperature of the gases must be above 350 degrees Fahrenheit gross to prevent condensation either in the appliance, flue pipe, or chimney. Some causes of high flue gas temperature: soot carbon deposits. The insulating effect of soot prevents good heat transfer through the heat exchanger. Inspect the heat exchanger, clean if necessary, and adjust the burner for zero smoke. High excess air. Excess air cools the combustion gases and increases the volume. This results in lower heat exchanger efficiency. Excess air can be due to poor fuel air mixing, poor burner adjustment, and/or air leaks into the heat exchanger. Overfiring. Firing a heating system at a higher input, GPH, gallons per hour, than it was designed for, exceeds the heat exchanger's ability to absorb heat. Excess draft. Too much draft will cause the combustion gases to travel rapidly through the heat exchanger, leaving little contact time to absorb heat. Low flue gas temperatures. Flue gas temperatures that are too low should be investigated. Flue gases must exit the chimney at a temperature above the dew point to avoid unwanted condensation. To prevent condensation, the net stack temperature should range from 270 degrees Fahrenheit to 370 degrees Fahrenheit, depending upon chimney type, material, and construction. With high-efficiency equipment that does not have a draft regulator, combustion gases can be on the low end of this range. If there is a draft regulator, they should be closer to the high end. Dew point temperature. Dew point temperature. The dew point temperature is the temperature below which the water vapor contained in the flue gas turns into a liquid. This change is often referred to as condensation. Below the dew point temperature, moisture exists. Above the dew point temperature, vapor exists. If the temperature in the chimney or vent falls below the dew point temperature, flue gas condensation will occur. Draft. Typical range, minus 0.04 inches at the breech and minus 0.01 inches to minus 0.02 inches over fire. Note, some appliances operate with positive draft over the fire. This is another reason to always refer to the manufacturer's instructions. Draft is measured in inches of water column at two places, over the fire, at the top of the combustion area, and in the flue pipe as close to the breech as possible. The difference between the breech draft and over the fire draft is referred to as draft drop. Refer to the appliance manufacturer's instructions for the recommended draft drop for the specific appliance being worked on. If the draft is too high, the flue gases will travel through the appliance too quickly, and efficiency will be lowered. In addition, excessive draft can cause the flame to be pulled away from the combustion head, aka flame detachment, and cause operational problems. High draft problems can usually be solved by adjusting the draft regulator. If draft is too low, the combustion airflow will be reduced, causing incomplete combustion and possible smoke. Common causes of low draft at the breech. Leakage of air into the chimney, thimble, stack, or breeching, allowing ambient air to cool the flue gases and prevent them from developing sufficient draft. Suggestion: seal any leaks that are found. Obstruction in chimney or at top of chimney. Any blockage prevents the flow of gases. Suggestion: check to be sure that the base of the chimney is clear of soot and debris. Verify that the top of the chimney is not obstructed by trees or other sources. Improper adjustment of the draft regulator. Suggestion: adjust to appropriate manufacturer's specifications. Common causes of low draft over the fire. Heat exchanger passages are clogged with soot and scale. Suggestion: inspect the flue passages in the appliance. Clean as necessary. Appliance is overfired. The volume of the combustion gases is too great for the heat exchanger design. Suggestion: set the firing rate to the manufacturer's specifications. Unit is underfired. The flue gases never got hot enough to create normal draft conditions. Suggestion: set the firing rate to the manufacturer's specifications. Smoke. Typical range, zero. Smoke and soot, which are nothing more than unburned carbon, are created by incorrect burner service, an adjustment, or outdated burner design. Smoke production is unacceptable and must be eliminated before it reduces efficiency, increases service calls, and risks damage and injury to people and property. Smoke wastes fuel because it deposits soot on the heat exchanger surfaces, figure 7-18. This insulates the heat exchanger, limiting its ability to extract the heat from the combustion gases. A layer of soot, only 1/8 inch thick, can reduce heat absorption by over 8%. Efficiency loss occurs as the soot slowly builds up. Soot also affects the reliable operation of the burner. If soot covers the CAD cell, or the soot builds up on the bimetal of the stack relay, it can simulate a flame failure and cause the control to lock out on safety, creating an unnecessary service call. While older, obsolete equipment may not be able to operate with minimal smoke, today's burners are designed to operate at zero smoke. If the smoke reading is higher than zero, further adjustments or servicing is required. If a burner is incapable of operating at zero smoke, the customer should be advised to consider the installation of new equipment. Smoke concentrations are measured by taking a sample of the flue gases and comparing the results to a calibrated chart to identify smoke concentrations on a scale, figure 7-19. This scale has 10 shaded spots. An oily or yellow smoke spot on the filter paper is a sign of unburned fuel, indicating extremely poor combustion. Common causes of smoke. 1. Poor fuel atomization. Smaller fuel droplets vaporize easier than larger ones, which allows them to mix better with the oxygen in the air. Large droplets lead to smoke creation and are caused by damaged or worn nozzles, low or improper fuel unit pressure, cold fuel. 2. Inadequate combustion air. The burner air shutter is not open far enough. An accumulation of lint, hair, sawdust, and dirt on the air shutter and/or the burner fan. Improper setup of the burner. Buildup of soot and scale in the heat exchanger. Poor chimney draft. Restrictions of airflow to the combustion zone. 3. Air in the fuel. Air in the fuel can lead to fuel dripping from the nozzle on shutdown, leading to an afterburn. High vacuum can lead to fuel changing from a liquid to a foam. CO2, O2, excess air. Typical ranges. CO2, 11.5 to 12.5%. O2, 4.0 to 5.3%. Excess air, 25 to 35%. Although CO2 and O2 readings are commonly used to calculate combustion efficiency, they are just indicators of how much excess air is being provided to the combustion process. Since perfect, aka stoichiometric, combustion cannot be achieved, a managed amount of excess air must be provided to provide a safety margin to compensate for environmental conditions. As excess air is added, the percentage of oxygen, O2, in the combustion gases increases, while the percentage of carbon dioxide, CO2, decreases, figures 7-20 and 7-21. By measuring either the percentage of CO2 or the percentage of O2 in the exhaust, one can determine the quantity of excess air. Why excess air must be controlled? Burners require a controlled amount of excess air to assure proper combustion and smoke-free operation. Properly adjusting excess air is a compromise between too little air and too much air. See figures 7-22 and 7-23. The excess combustion air serves as a safety margin to assure enough air is always available to compensate for variables such as air, fuel temperature, draft, clogged air fans, etc. While excess air is needed for reliable, clean operation, it also reduces efficiency. Too much excess air increases the amount of combustion gases that must be vented and causes them to travel through the heat exchanger faster. This gives the heat exchanger less time to attract heat, which leads to higher stack temperatures and lower efficiency. Too much excess air also cools the flame. This further reduces combustion efficiency and can cause carbon monoxide levels to rise. Finally, too much excess air can cause flame detachment, which pushes the flame away from the retention head and leading to smoke, soot, primary control lockout, heat exchanger fouling, burner head coking. Therefore, the amount of excess air allowed into the combustion process must be properly set. The only practical way to achieve this is by using combustion test equipment. Carbon monoxide, CO, typical ranges, in flue gas, single digits to 30 parts per million. Ambient, 0 to 5 parts per million. Carbon monoxide, CO, is a result of incomplete combustion. During combustion, carbon in the fuel oxidizes through a series of reactions to form carbon dioxide, CO2. However, 100% conversion of carbon to carbon dioxide is rarely achieved under field conditions, and some carbon only oxidizes to the intermediate step, CO. CO can be produced by both insufficient or too much combustion air. Mismatched fuel and air patterns and ratios, as well as flame impingement, can also lead to high CO production. CO is a toxic gas that can occur in homes and buildings where combustion byproducts are generated, not properly vented, and allowed to accumulate. CO is a colorless, odorless, tasteless gas that is readily absorbed into the body and can impair the oxygen-carrying capacity of blood. This can result in less oxygen to the brain, heart, and tissues. Even short-term exposure to carbon monoxide can be critical or fatal, especially to people with heart and lung diseases, and to the young or the elderly. It may also cause headaches and dizziness and other significant medical problems in healthy people. At low concentrations, CO can go undetected and contribute to nagging illnesses and can compound pre-existing health problems. Safety should be the primary goal of all technicians. The production of CO in the flue gases should be kept below 100 parts per million air-free, even though the allowable limit in the flue is 400 parts per million air-free. Higher CO levels in the appliance or flue do not typically affect ambient measurements of CO. Extra attention should always be given to determine that proper CO levels are contained in the flue gases, and all appliances should be carefully checked for flue gas spillage. CO warning signs. If smoke is seen near the burner or coming from the chimney, or if a sharp, raw fuel smell is noticeable, the burner is probably producing unacceptable levels of carbon monoxide. With insufficient combustion air, burners can produce elevated smoke levels before high CO levels are reached. It is important to realize that this smoke is a warning signal. Burners that are operated with too much combustion air can lower the temperature of the flame and create CO with no smoke. Anytime a technician works on the burner components of a fuel-fired appliance, an electronic combustion analyzer should be used to measure CO levels. Never leave a job site operating with elevated CO. What to watch out for? In addition to performing a combustion analysis, the technician should inspect for the following. Fuel odors. Locate and repair any fuel leaks, inspect for proper ventilation, and adequate combustion air. Soot, rust, or scale buildup on or around the appliance and vents. Determine the cause, correct and clean as necessary. Loose or disconnected chimney or vent connections. Repair immediately. Debris or soot falling from chimney, fireplace, or appliance. Inspect and repair. Excessive moisture on the inside of windows or walls. This is often an indication of flue gas spillage. Test ambient air and the appliance. Chalky white powder forming on the chimney or vent. Can indicate flue gas condensing through cracks in the chimney. Inspect and repair. Visible smoke in the living space. Locate sources of smoke. Check the appliance and exhaust connections. Check for whole house fans or any other device that could cause negative pressure in the building. Light off CO levels. CO levels at light off are typically higher, but quickly drop and stabilize. Unusually high CO levels may be an indication of rough or delayed ignition, warranting further investigation. CO readings should stabilize quickly and should never be rising during operation, higher than acceptable CO levels, as it could be a mechanical problem. Inspect the burner and appliance for cleanliness, proper firing assembly alignment and adjustment, missing burner covers, missing or damaged burner components, improper air adjustment or incorrect fuel pressures, defective or incorrect nozzle. Check the appliance, inspect the combustion chamber for damage or excessive debris. Look for evidence of flame impingement, which occurs whenever the flame is hitting a surface. Initial startup CO levels. When a new appliance is installed, manufacturing residue often causes temporary elevated CO levels. These levels typically drop after approximately 15 minutes of operation. CO ambient air testing, combustion air zone, and living space. Carbon monoxide, CO, is always a potential hazard when combustion is taking place. Ambient CO levels should also be checked, and the appliance should be run through a complete cycle if any combustion problems are suspected. High ambient CO levels in the home are most often the result of auto exhaust in an attached garage, depressurization of the home, or insufficient air in the combustion zone. If CO is detected, all possible sources should be checked, including but not limited to water heaters, gas appliances, non-electric space heaters, and vented or unvented appliances like gas logs. A furnace with a cracked heat exchanger, a blocked flue or appliance can also cause improper combustion and allow flue gases with higher than normal CO levels to spill into the living space. To check ambient CO levels, start the analyzer and let it run through its startup cycle, typically about 30 seconds. When the presence of CO is detected in a building, it's essential to also measure the CO outside the building to determine whether carbon monoxide is being generated. For example, if you measure 25 parts per million of CO inside and 17 parts per million outside, the main problem may be caused by something outdoors, but there still could be 8 parts per million being generated by an indoor source. Ambient CO limits recommended, figure 7-24. 0 parts per million. This level is the most desirable, but not always achievable. Levels where cigarette smoke, candles, and appliances such as gas stoves are present can sometimes be slightly higher. 1-9 parts per million, normal acceptable level. 10-35 parts per million. Advise occupants, check for symptoms, slight headache, tiredness, dizziness, and nausea or flu-like symptoms. Check all appliances, including the furnace, water heater, and boiler. Check for other sources, including internal combustion engine operation in attached garages. 36-99 parts per million. Recommend fresh air, check for symptoms, ventilate the space, recommend medical attention. 100+ parts per million, evacuate the home, including yourself, and contact the fire department or emergency medical services, 911. Do not attempt to ventilate the space. Short-term exposure to these levels can cause permanent physical damage. Typical combustion challenges. This section addresses 4 combustion issues. 1, insufficient combustion air. 2, improper air-fuel mixing. 3, flame impingement. And 4, smoky shutdown. 1, insufficient combustion air. For the proper operation and venting of appliances, sufficient air must be supplied to the combustion zone. For years, it has been assumed that when a heating appliance is located in an open area, there would be sufficient air for combustion. In many situations today, that is not true. New construction standards often confine heating equipment to a very small space, such as a utility room that may include other appliances, such as clothes dryers, which also require large amounts of air. Insufficient air problems are most noticeable on the coldest days when the heat loss is the greatest. The windows or doors are closed for extended periods of time, and the burner consumes more oxygen because it runs for extended periods. These conditions can lead to dangerous carbon monoxide levels being generated by the appliance. NFPA 31 requires that there must be 50 cubic feet of open space per 1,000 BTU input rating of all appliances installed in the combustion zone. So any space that provides less than 50 cubic feet per 1,000 BTUs of total appliance input is considered a confined space and additional air must be provided. To determine the maximum total firing rate allowable in a room, the total cubic feet must be known. To determine the total cubic feet of the room, multiply the length times the width times the height. L times W times H equals total cubic feet. So, if the combustion zone is in a room that is 20 feet long, 24 feet wide, with an 8-foot ceiling, 20 by 24 by 8 equals 3,840 cubic feet. To determine the maximum BTU firing rate allowable in this room, multiply 3,840 times 1,000 BTUs divided by 50, which is 20. So 3,840 times 20 equals 76,800 maximum BTU input. A gallon of number 2 fuel contains approximately 138,690,000 BTUs. To determine the maximum allowable firing rate, divide 76,800 by 138,690, which equals 0.55 gallons per hour. The maximum firing rate for this room is 0.55 gallons per hour. Any appliance or appliances with a higher firing rate requires that additional air must be made available. This air can be added by installing permanent openings near the top of the combustion zone and one near the bottom, sized in accordance with NFPA 31 requirements. Ducts to bring in air from other parts of the building or from the outside, sized in accordance with NFPA 31 requirements. Mechanical devices such as a fan in a can to bring outside air into the combustion zone. An outside air intake kit, which brings outside air directly to the burner air intake. Most burner manufacturers offer information online. For further information regarding combustion air requirements, see NFPA 31, Standard for the Installation of Oil Burning Equipment, Chapter 5. Testing for insufficient combustion air. NFPA has developed a worst-case draft test that enables technicians to determine if there is a combustion air problem or if one might arise in the future. The test simulates what happens if all the air-stealing appliances, except for a whole house cooling exhaust fan, are on at the same time. Quote, the technicians should perform the following tasks to determine if the appliance can operate in accordance with the draft requirements specified by the equipment manufacturer. Close quotes. Close fireplace dampers and fireplace doors. Close all exterior doors and windows in the building. And close all interior doors in the building. 2. Turn on building air exhaust systems, including clothes dryers, range hoods, bathroom exhausts, and mechanical ventilation and forced air heating or cooling system blowers, and operate them at their highest speed settings. Do not operate a whole house cooling exhaust fan. 3. Operate the burner in the smallest oil heating appliance first, and then other appliances in order of increasing capacity. Measure and record the breech draft and overfire draft of each appliance and check for flue gas spillage. 4. Check that the breech and overfire draft are at a level that is required by the oil heating equipment manufacturer as specified in the installation and operating manuals for the appliance. Overfire draft in oil appliances is usually negative 0.01 to negative 0.02 inches of water column. 5. If the draft is maintained at the manufacturer's recommendations level, return doors, windows, exhaust fans, fireplace dampers, and appliances to their previous condition of use. 6. If the draft is not maintained at the manufacturer's recommended level, take action as needed to correct excessive depressurization of the appliance combustion air zone and return the flue draft and overfire draft to the requirements of the oil heating equipment manufacturer. If additional steps are necessary, shut the appliance down until the situation can be corrected. Quote, notify the homeowner, building owner, or occupant if combustion air zone depressurization impacts the operation of the oil heating equipment and of all actions and modifications that are required to allow the flue draft and overfire draft to be maintained at the level required by the oil heating equipment manufacturer. It is important to understand that this test, or an equivalent, is required by NFPA 31, 2020 edition, section 5.2.1.1. Quote, after installing a new or replacement oil burning appliance and before placing the equipment into service, the equipment installer shall perform testing of the worst case depressurization of the room where the appliance is located and shall determine by measuring the flue draft and overfire draft that the appliance can operate in accordance with the draft requirements of the appliance manufacturer. 2. Improper air-fuel mixing. Improper mixing creates fuel-rich and fuel-lean, to little fuel, pockets in the combustion area and prevents complete burning. Some of the causes are mismatch pattern of the fuel spray and the burner air pattern. Suggestion: check the manufacturer's guide to determine the correct nozzle spray, angle, and pattern. Using a nozzle that is either too small or too large for the burner head and combustion area. Suggestion: verify that the nozzle and fuel unit pressure are correct. Inadequate air swirl and turbulence. Suggestion: check air handler components, including the retention head size setting, set burner to manufacturer specs. Improper burner head size or mismatched burner components. Suggestion: replace with correct components and set to specs. Improper adjustment of air handling parts of the burner. Suggestion: check settings. Irregular or unbalanced fuel spray. Suggestion: check for a defective or partially plugged nozzle. Off-center installation of the nozzle assembly. Suggestion: set to specs. Dirt or soot accumulation on burner air handling parts, including air shutter and fan. Suggestion: clean if necessary. Defective or damaged burner parts. Suggestion: check the retention head, air tube, fan, and motor coupling. Replace if applicable. Fuel pump pressure set too low or too high. Suggestion: check and adjust to specs. Coal fuel producing larger fuel droplets and increasing the firing rate beyond the air settings. Suggestion: consider a nozzle line heater or fuel deaerator. 3. Flame impingement. The flame must not touch any solid surfaces of the burner, the retention head, the combustion chamber, or the heat exchanger. If this happens, the flame will be cooled and the unburned carbon becomes smoke and soot. Possible causes of flame impingement are overfiring, too large a nozzle or excessive fuel unit pressure, incorrect nozzle, for example, wrong spray angle or pattern, collapse or deterioration of combustion chamber, incorrect combustion chamber size or shape, or debris has collected at the base of the chamber, partially clogged nozzle, cold fuel. 4. Shutdown issues, afterburn. If the burner rumbles or if smoke comes from the chimney on shutdown, it is most likely from air accumulation in the nozzle assembly. Install a suction line analyzer in the suction line close to the burner and observe for any visible bubbles. Figure 7-25. Check the vacuum. If it is too high, clean the fuel lines with a push-pull pump. If the fuel unit is connected as two-pipe, consider abandoning the return line and installing a deaerator. If the vacuum is too low, check for a suction leak. Alternately, the fuel cutoff may be to blame. Perform a pressure check at cutoff test as described in Chapter 4 to check the cutoff of the fuel unit. Other causes of afterburn are an accumulation of soot in the chamber, flame impingement.